We're well into the month of January. So how are you coming with your resolutions for the new year? Perhaps you plan to begin a new diet or workout regimen. Maybe you had good intentions for digging deeper into the Bible every day. Making good progress? Well, some of us have weakened a bit. And if you're looking for a boost of enthusiasm and resolve, you've come to the right place. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a series called Things to Stop and Start. And he's titled today's message, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through.
Today, I want you to find one place in your Bible. I'll not be reading there, but I want you to mark it with your outline and the guideline, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And then let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Just three verses from this fifth chapter of Ephesians, verses 15, 16, and 17. Verse 16 in the Greek says, redeeming the time, which is why this ties in so perfectly with what we're addressing today. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, verses 15, 16, and 17. Ephesians 5, 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. The Greek says, redeem the time. Redeem the time in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through.
Let's play Let's Pretend, okay? Let's pretend it's Friday evening just before the bank closes and your banker calls you and says, I have a little surprise for you. In fact, it's been a surprise for us as well. And it's all good news. Someone who knows you and loves you very much, who wants to remain anonymous, has made an unusual decision. Starting next Monday, he will deposit 86,400 pennies in your account every day. Every day. That's $864 every day. And then he adds, there's one stipulation, and he was really strong about this. You have to spend all of that money the same day. No balance will be carried over to the next day. Every evening, the bank will cancel whatever amount you failed to spend. With a big smile, you thank the banker and you hang up, and you spend your evening making plans. You grab a pencil and you start figuring. $864 a day times 7 days is over $6,000 a week times 52, a little under $315,000 a year. Honey, you call your wife in knowing that you need to spend it all in one day. And you remind her, whatever is not spent, you're going to lose. She loves that idea. Well, so much for let's pretend. Now let's get real. The truth is, someone who loves you very much deposits into your time bank every day 86,400 seconds, which you must spend. That represents 1,440 minutes from dawn to dawn over a 24-hour period. That's what's deposited into your account and mine. Same stipulation applies, but not about money, but about time. Nothing is carried over on credit to tomorrow that you didn't use today, though some of us long for 26 and 28-hour days. They never happen. As someone once said, life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. One of the most fascinating, and I might add frustrating, of all subjects is this four-letter word, time. Think about it with me. Everyone is given the very same amount of it. You're free to spend it any way you wish, but you can only spend it once. And there are no special favorites that God plays, giving one person more time than another, whether you're homeless and penniless or among the most wealthy. You have the same amount of time. A man or a woman, same amount of time. Whether you're a teenager or octogenarian or baby boomer, same amount of time. Whether you're single or married, you have a job or you're unemployed, same amount of time. Organized and maybe driven or disorganized and lazy, same amount of time given to you from the moment you awaken until you fall asleep. Thought about how often that one word enters into our conversation. Listen to some familiar lines. What time does a meeting start? It's time to leave. I don't have time to do that. Don't waste your time on this. How much time will it take? Time out. It's time for us to have a talk. By the way, I never liked that line. It's time for us to have a talk. What time will he quit preaching? To which I answer, time flies when you're having fun. Or that person is never on time. Ah, there's the sticker. There's the tough one. And that brings us to the subject of today. You see, as you can with other people's money, you can waste other people's time. When they have to wait for you, and because you're late, you have abused their time. They didn't ask to be delayed. You delay them because you have procrastinated. Wouldn't it be great, and wouldn't it be gratifying this year to conquer that habit? Honestly, some of you have been late so often, your mate plans on your being late. Wouldn't it be a great year to surprise him or her? I think it's invaluable that we think seriously about the use of our time. It's the same as with my money. If you take my money and waste it, you've abused the privilege of having my money. If you take my time and waste it, you've stepped too far over the bounds, and it's no longer funny. Even though, because we have entertained the thief of time all our lives, we excuse ourselves with a throwaway comment like, I'm sorry I'm late. Really? It's like, I'm sorry I lost 100 of your dollars. You would never handle it like that. You'd be very embarrassed to tell me that you wasted what I loaned you or gave you. But with my time or your time, we are accountable. Procrastination. What an interesting word. By the way, have you ever wanted to define time? I decided I need to do that if I'm going to talk about it. So I checked Webster's, known for its clear and simple definitions, right? Hang on. Here is the definition for time, and I am not exaggerating. A non-spatial continuum in which events occur in apparently irreversible succession. Really? So I thought maybe the second definition would help clarify the first. Here's the second. An interval separating two points on this continuum, measured essentially by selecting a regularly recurring event as the sunrise and counting the number of its occurrences during the interval. Thanks, Webster. Very, very helpful. I'll get to a definition in a moment, but before I get there, wouldn't it be a great and gratifying goal if this year you stopped procrastinating? Don't answer out loud. Wouldn't it be great if you no longer said, I'll do that later, or maybe sometime, or even tomorrow? What's wrong with today? How much better is now? You see, if we cultivate the use of those terms, we'll send the thief on his way, because he lives for no other reason than to steal your time, and he'll give you 100 excuses for doing so. It'd be a great habit for us to break this year. And I challenge you with that thought. Throughout these months that lie ahead, that you take it on personally as a challenge. You're going to stop putting off what needs to be done. Now let's get a little perspective on all of this. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's go there first in the Bible. As we read here, God is engaged in our time. Maybe you never thought of that. Maybe you thought time was all yours and God has nothing to do with it. He has everything to do with it. Your birth was because of his grace, and your living on is because of his providential care over you. Your day of death is planned already. Our times are in his hands. In fact, that's why the chapter begins in Ecclesiastes 3. For everything, there is a season, a time, for every activity under heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. And it goes on and on. There are 14 of those contrasts, those opposites, that appear sandwiched between the words, there is a time for every activity under heaven. And down in verse 9, what do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. What is time? It is either a moment or a duration in which things happen for which we are accountable. That's my definition. It's a moment, as here, verse 2, a time to be born, a moment, a time to die, the moment of death, or it's a duration, verse 2, a time to plant, a time to harvest. Takes time for those things to happen. So over a period that's measurable, you are given a God-given stewardship in which you will render account. Like our money, our time can be invested, spent wisely, or wasted. And like money, as I said earlier, we can waste another person's time. Now, why is it so important? Think about it. Why is time so valuable? Number one, because it's so rare. So rare. Do you realize by my taking your time today, you will never have the moment you're now spending listening to me to do something else? You talk about feeling responsible. I tell that to every young preacher I talk to about ministry. Remember, the greatest compliment in the world is that they give you time when you stand to speak. Spend it wisely. Don't waste it. They can be entertained elsewhere, or they can do other things at another time, but right now they've decided that this is worth the time for us to give you, and they will give you the time. It's rare. Spent once, never to be used again, which brings up the second. It's irretrievable. We have instant replays in ball games because on video, you can reverse and go again. You can reverse and go again. You can see it again. There's no such thing in time. And how many times I've said to myself driving home, I wish I could preach that sermon again. Next time, I think I'd get it right. I'm sure every conductor thinks, I wish I could have led that another way, but it can't be done. It's irretrievable. Done once, it's done. Here's a third reason it's important. It travels along with us every day, but it has eternity wrapped around it. Few things are true like that in our lives. Look at how it reads as it gets to the end of 14 contrasts in verses 2 through 8, all the way through contrast one with another, time to cry, time to laugh, time to grieve, time to dance, time to embrace, time to turn away, on and on and on. And then it says with a screeching halt, verse 11, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. You know what that says? In his plan, there are times when things are appropriate and other times they're not. There are times that it's right to say something and there are times it's better to say nothing. I had a man stop me after the first service today and he said, as he looked over his shoulder to make sure his wife wasn't hearing him, he said, we have a difficulty in our marriage. She is regularly late, and I am usually early. And so whatever happens, or whenever we go somewhere, usually it begins with the argument, you weren't ready on time. And he said, I've learned that by saying that over and over doesn't help. And I said, well, that's good. You're on your way. And then I passed along what I remembered Ruth, now gone from us, Ruth Graham, said to her dear husband, Billy Graham, it's my job to love you. It's God's job to make you good. Isn't that helpful? So all men, let's repeat together. It's your job to love her. It's God's job to make her punctual. Okay? She'll listen to me more than she'll listen to you, so maybe today she will hear. Or maybe it's the man. I can hear some women go, say it, say it. Maybe he's the one that's late. He's made all things beautiful for its own time. And look at the rest. He planted eternity in the human heart. Boy, there are scholars that dance all around that statement trying to figure out what it means. I think it means eternity is wrapped up around time. What we do has eternal dimensions, some of them more significant than others. You know what? That's never to be said of an animal. Animals do not have eternity in their hearts, only humans, because only we are made in the image of God. We have a mind to think, we have emotions to feel, and we have a will to obey. God has made us like unto himself, and in doing so, he's put eternity in our hearts. We can grasp the concept of eternity, and we should, because we will give account of the use of our time. In fact, verse 12, he goes on to say, so I've concluded there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. People should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. I've heard that criticized. That's great counsel. How seldom I find people really happy in the fruits of their labor. Part of the reason is we never got it done. Never got it done. Eternity travels with us. And by the way, have you noticed how relative time is? Think about it. 2 weeks on a vacation are not at all like 2 weeks on a strict diet. Not at all like it. It's the same amount of time. How about this one? Some people stay longer in 1 hour than others do in a full week when they visit us. Time has a way of changing according to what's going on around it. Here's another reason it's important, because time is what forms life's building blocks. Life is made up, don't miss this, of exchanging time for activities. So when we select what we're going to be doing with our time, it's wise that we make strategic use of it. Some people spend most of their adult life and never learn it. You know what I've learned? The great difference between those who make a massive impact on the world in which we live and those who don't is mainly in the way they use their time, which is why I am forever reading biographies. Wherever I sit in our house, there's a biography near. The chair I usually sit in our garden room, there are three biographies right now of people I admire. And I've noticed in the reading of them, with this message in mind, every one of them had a unique way of using his or her time. It's an intriguing subject. You're able to accomplish the incredible, and yet others have the same amount of time and accomplish very little. Not meant to shame anybody. It's difficult to learn how to use one's time wisely. William James, the philosopher, put it this way: the great use of time is to spend it for something that will outlast it. The great use of time is to spend it for something that will outlast it. You know, it goes with you all your life. The moment of your birth is recorded on your birth certificate. Not just the day and date, but the time you're born. Every tombstone is a reminder of time. There's a date and another date. In between the two dates is a small horizontal dash representing time. Rarely do people live the exact amount of time, but they all have a dash between the time of their birth, the year of their birth, and the year of their death. Now, with all of this in mind, I would like us to spend the rest of our time thinking very practically. So let me go there first before I take you to Ephesians 5. This year, you were given time in daily doses, which works out into hours, which works down into minutes and even seconds, which means this is the perfect time for you to hear these things well. The thief of time, procrastination, exists to steal your incentive, to take away your motivation. You'll hear something like this, and you'll be on the edge of your seat with excitement, thinking, I'm going to get at that. But you don't. Procrastination wins the day once again. For example, there are some difficult tasks that you have put off. Okay? I know that because I know human nature, and I know myself. I'll be happy to use one of my own examples, cleaning out the garage. We have lived in the house we live in seven years. Garage is still not cleaned out, and I'm going to get at it. Really, I'm not. And Cynthia is regularly saying, you know, with vacation coming, and I know the last part of that sentence. So I have an answer. I can't do it. I have a funeral. She goes, it's 4 months from now. I know. I'm going to have a funeral. I know. So before you plan on it, I'm not going to be available because I've got to help this family that's in the, that's a crock. You know that. That's a joke. I don't plan to do it. I don't want to do it. Now, having preached this, I have the feeling we're going to have a clean garage before too many days. Now that you've laughed at me, here's one for you to deal with. Mending a relational fence. You track me? Some of you have managed to hurt someone else's feelings. You know you've done it, but you're not woman enough or man enough to face it. So maybe this is the year for you, or the month, could I say it, the week, for you to make that right with another person.
A convicting message from Chuck Swindoll today. He titled his sermon, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through. To learn more about this ministry or to send a link to a friend, visit us online at insightworld.org. You know, I can't think of a more relevant topic than this one. Many of us made New Year's resolutions, some of them formal declarations, others are quiet personal commitments. Well, Chuck is presenting a clear biblical case for keeping our foot on the accelerator rather than sitting idle. To help you in this regard, we picked out a resource that we believe will keep you moving forward. It's a book Chuck has written called Faith for the Journey, Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. You'll find all the details for purchasing a copy at our online store, or you can give us a phone call. By reading a short chapter every day, Chuck's devotional book will keep your heart in God's Word throughout 2020. Again, it's called Faith for the Journey. To purchase a copy right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/store. Well, it's possible you've been following Chuck's teaching for several decades. In the early days, perhaps you had little financial margin because of the demands of rearing a young family. During that season, it was the generous giving of others that made it possible for you to hear Chuck's teaching. Today, you're likely in a stronger position. Let me encourage you to step forward and become one of our monthly companions. January is the perfect time to start a new discipline of generosity. By giving a monthly donation in the amount of your choice, you can do for someone else what others did for you in the early days. Becoming a monthly companion means that you'll have a ministry all your own, touching lives through your monthly giving. If you're listening in the United States, here's the number to call, 1-800-772-8888. You can also sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll presents a biblical case for getting things done. Be listening Wednesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.